Praise the Lord. Good to see you all today. Praise the Lord. God is good. Well, I just got a few quick announcements. If you notice my voice, I actually got hit by something really hard this week. And I don't mean physically. I mean, you know, in the realm of, you know, in the body. Praise the Lord. And what I realized it was because of a lack of rest. And just let that be a lesson to y'all. Came on me quick. It hit me hard. So I've been a little bit out of commission for the last few days. But praise the Lord. God's working in me and getting through. We're going to get through this message really good today. And I want to thank you for, you know, allowing us to be able. We are a church that is part of what the family churches do is we raise up. Part of what we do is we raise up ministers and plant churches. Amen. So, you know, when we have different people, sometimes we have like Josh and Rachel, we've been using them in the pulpit, you know, for announcements and stuff like that. And just to let you know, that's for training. That's just to help them get, you know, it's not necessarily easy to just step up into in front of a group of people and start talking. You know what I mean? And that's just to give people an opportunity to kind of hone themselves a little bit and learn, you know, learn from, because you do learn just by doing it. Amen. And so if you see different people in the pulpit at different times for, you know, for things like that's a reason for it. Amen. And so we just want to, you know, if you're new, we're just encouraging them. We want to encourage you, you know, praise the Lord. You know, it might not be exactly, might not sound like what the pastor would do. Yeah, I don't even do announcements. You know that, because I can't even do them, and I don't like to. So I just pass it off on other people, praise the Lord, let them get their training, hallelujah. But they do a wonderful job, and we're so thankful that we have people that are willing to do that, amen? Praise the Lord. Well, I hope you're excited to be here today. I am. You know, this message, I actually got this message earlier this week when I was preparing for Tuesday's message. I kind of got two messages simultaneously, and I wasn't necessarily planning on it that way. I wasn't planning on that way at all. I never plan like that at all. Amen. But you know, the Lord just started dealing me a lot about the kingdom of God. Amen. And so, at least one of the scriptures we're going to use from many times on Tuesday night, but I'm going to reuse it today. And it's a scripture that you are well familiar with. We used it a lot. But we're going to get into talking about the kingdom of God today and just what that's all about. Amen. And I believe that you'll be encouraged today. I believe that you'll be excited today if you listen and you get what the word is trying to teach us, what the Lord is trying to teach us through the word. You know, there's a lot of things in the word that you know, we can get into, and we can just say, and we can almost say them as, we call it Christianese. Amen. It's Christianese. It's kind of like Christian talk, you know. You say words like anointing and glory and hallelujah. And people don't always understand what these words mean, but they do have significant meaning. Even when we say amen, there's a significant meaning to the word amen. 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 Hallelujah. There it is. And I just get accustomed to saying it. Praise the Lord. You know, we talk about the kingdom of God. And I'll tell you, before I started getting some of this revelation, I didn't even really realize what we're talking about here. And then as I started studying out, the phrase kingdom of God is actually used quite a few times in the scripture, and especially in the New Testament. Jesus talked about it a lot. Amen. And I'll tell you the truth, some other scripture that didn't make sense to me before started making sense to me once I get the real understanding of what the kingdom of God is. Amen? And so I believe we're going to do that today, and if you'll go with me, we'll get there. Amen. Hallelujah. So today we're talking about the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. How different would you perceive the kingdom of God if you realized what it actually was? Now, you can't answer that question yet, or maybe you can, but you're going to get the fullness of that through this message today. Amen? Let's turn to Matthew 6:33, the scripture that we should be very familiar with. It's a full scripture, a very directive scripture, and it helps us. Amen? Praise the Lord. And it says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Now, in context, what this scripture is talking about is Jesus was telling the people not to worry. Don't worry about the stuff you're going to wear. Don't worry about the stuff you're going to put on. Don't worry about where you're going to live. Don't worry about life in general. He said, isn't life more than what the body, amen, what you do and all this stuff. Life means so much more than just what you put on or what you eat. Amen? Life means so much more than that. He said, don't worry about that. And he said, here, if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things shall be added to you. You know, there's one of the biggest things, one of the biggest obstacles in life, one of the biggest obstacles in marriage, one of the biggest obstacles in families, almost always revolves around worry of some sort. What are we going to do? How are we going to get beyond it? How are we going to get through? How are we going to stand? How are we going to stand? Get out of this. You know what I mean? There's always, it always is based around some, whether it's a situation, whether it's financial, it doesn't matter. They all have their same answer, and the answer's in the Word. Jesus said, don't worry. He said, seek first the kingdom of God, and you ain't got to worry about nothing. Amen? But see, the problem is we talk about seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, but a lot of people don't even understand what those really mean. Righteousness is another one of those Christianese words we like to use. We want to be righteous, but we don't really know what righteous means. We hear words, you know, phrases like being self-righteous. Amen. And we just know that's a negative connotation. But I don't think people really think about what righteousness really is. Now, Tuesday we talked about what righteousness is, and I'm going to kind of reiterate it tonight. Today is that righteousness really means thinking like God. It means that it's a thought process. It's how you think. It's when you think like God, that's what righteousness is. Amen. Praise the Lord. So when we think like God, we put on his righteousness. And that's a good thing. Amen. But these two things here, they're not separate things. The kingdom of God, when it says seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he's not talking about two totally different things. He's talking about these two things are a unit. They work together. Amen. So praise God, we're going to get into that. They are a unit and they are first. God wants us to seek these things first, above and all else. But before we get there, I want to talk about what it is to seek. Amen? The Bible in the Greek, the word seek means to seek, go about, desire, to seek in order to find, to seek a thing, to seek in order to find out, by thinking, meditating, reasoning, to inquire into, to seek after, seek for, aim at, strive after, to seek, require, demand, to crave, demand something from someone. Amen? This is what it means to seek. So when you start thinking, when you all those words that you require, you crave, you desire, you demand it from something. It's just like if you were desiring something from someone and you were like, I'm not leaving here without this. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. I'm not leaving here without what's mine. And that's exactly what seek is. So we are to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness from that standpoint. That's what it means to seek it. We just put it all on the line. We say we're unwilling to go without this. Amen. Praise the Lord. I love some of the things that used in here by thinking, meditating, reasoning. You know, when you reason something, you mull it over in your mind, you think about it. You're like, you know, the thing is, the stuff of God isn't really hidden from us. God's given us access to it. But we, like a treasure, we do have to go after it. We have to show that we're more than just, you know, it's not seeking something if you go to Walmart and you just pull something off the shelf. Amen? You know, that's why you can go get cheap stuff at Walmart. The precious things you really have to go figure out. You know what I'm saying? And that's what God wants from us too. It's not that he didn't want us to get it easily. He does want us to get it easily. He didn't put it so far away from us that we can't get it. But when there's something precious, it's worth going after. Amen? And the Bible tells us that. You know, the Bible says that he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. You know, that's another example of something. You know, a wife is a precious, precious thing to a man, or should be. And so the Bible tells us that he who finds a wife, indicating one who went out and sought one, right? So it's the same kind of idea of what we're talking about. We see with all the things of God, they're that way. Amen? But here's a question. How are you going to look for something that you don't understand? How are you going to find it? How will you find something that you don't know what it looks like? If you say, well, I'm going to look like, if I give you just some random name, I say, I hit a widget over here in the hills of Mayville, and I want you to go find it because when you get it, it'll really bless you. But you're like, okay, what's a widget look like? Because you can go to the woods and find a lot of things you don't know what they are. But if you don't know what I'm talking about specifically, how is it going to be a blessing to you? Well, the same thing is with the kingdom of God. We have to understand. We have to understand the kingdom of God. We have to understand what uh, what what he uh, what he wants us to get. Amen? And so we're going to look at that. We're going to see that in many places through Scripture today. And I got a lot of Scripture. I hope that I get through it all. And by no means do I have all the Scripture on it. Amen? Praise the Lord. So how are we going to look for, or how are we going to look for something that we don't understand? We need to understand these things. Because God said seek first. If he said seek first, that means there's no room for putting it on the back shelf. It means that we're not going to get fully blessed unless we do what he said first. Amen? Because God's doorway is very simple. Amen? It's like this is the doorway, and this is how you go through it. And if you want what's on the other side, then this is what you must do to get there. Amen? And getting there is only through seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now turn with me. So we're there, and you're not going to turn very far. Actually, you probably won't turn at all if you have your Bible. Mine's right on the same page. But we're going to go to Matthew 7:7. Amen? And we're going to read verses 7 and 8. This was another scripture I used on Tuesday, but I thought it was very pertinent for this message as well. Amen? It says here, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Okay? So we understand here again that God is promising us the outcome already. He's just saying, and this is what's so amazing about our God. He's given us the direction. He's given us the directive. He said, this is what you've got to do. This is what you're after. This is what you want. This is what will bless you. I know because I made you. And I made you to be blessed by these things. Amen? He said, this is what you want, and it's all over here, and this is how you're going to go about doing it. I'm going to make it easy. And I'm even going to give you the promise that if you do what I say, you'll get there and you will see exactly what you're after. You will find it. But how many people just don't do it? How many people, they don't really, you know, they spend more time. You know, I love this. It's such an interesting thing as a pastor to watch people come to me and they all want something. And I don't mean that in a bad way. We all want something in life, right? There's things we want out of life. Otherwise, we wouldn't be seeking out God. We wouldn't be sitting here today, right? There's something that we want to get. We expect we're going to get out of this spending every Sunday or every Saturday or whatever day we come, every Tuesday. You know, there's something we expect that we're going to get, right? And yet, when people come, sometimes you give them the directive and it's like, they just don't, it's like they, I don't know, it's whether they don't want it, they don't want to do it, or they're just like distracted by everything else or whatever it is. But it's, they always go back to the same things they always tried before. And they wonder why it never works out. And then they never, and people will get to the point, because you know, when you preach bold, people get to the point where they won't even tell you anymore. Yeah, there's people, I know there's people that go through stuff they won't even tell me anymore. Why? Because they know exactly what I'm going to say. They know I'm going to point them to the Word, and they know that they don't want to do the Word. And so they know, so they have an understanding, but yet they still strive and still, and it doesn't make any sense. See, I know this because I did this. I did the very same thing. I would come to church every week, and I would refuse to do this part of the Word, and I would refuse to do this part of the Word. And it wasn't until I finally decided, you know what, I'm just going to do the Word, that my life started changing. And yeah, it's not always easy on the flesh to do it, but that doesn't matter. Amen? There's people that will, they'll sit in church and they will literally, everything that you tell them or half of everything you tell them, they don't even believe it. And you just got to wonder at some point, you're like, well, why do you keep trying then? Why do you keep going after it? You know, because God really, he wants us to get somewhere. I want us to get somewhere. My life is dedicated to getting groups of people to get somewhere. You see, when you walk in, you don't realize, I've been planning for years already. I didn't even know you, but I was planning already. I was preparing my life already to bless you. You know, when we talk about building a bigger church building and stuff like that, you know what I'm thinking of? I'm thinking about those people that don't know about us yet. I'm thinking about those people that haven't got the Word yet. I'm going to tell you something. If you've ever been through a building project, especially a church building project, I'm going to tell you it's not a fun thing to do. It's actually one of the least fun things to do in life. I'd rather pull my toenails and dip my feet in buckets of alcohol than to go through a building project. I'm not joking on the flesh. It ain't fun. You try one little building project and it ain't fun. That's part of what I've been wrapped up in. One day I drove several hundred miles just making, because I had to make stops to do things to make sure that this project and this project, you know what I'm saying? Like, but it's all about setting up the future so there's people that can get what they need to get. Amen. So, you know, we did this when we came up to Mayville. You know, not most of you guys weren't here, but we did it for you because we did it because we knew that the Lord was, you know, planning us there to do it. And so that's why we continue on with the work. That's why we encourage people. That's why we sometimes yell a little bit, and sometimes we get fired up, praise the Lord, because we want to see people blessed. The slower we do it, the slower people are blessed. And you know, when people get blessed slowly, the things happen slowly, what happens is sometimes people don't make it. Sometimes people don't get the word in time and they go home early. Sometimes people don't get the word in time and they don't even get to make it to heaven. And see, these are realities that are on the backs of us. Amen? That when you know that when you got saved, when you think about that moment when you got your help or when things got fixed for you, you think about that moment, but think about if that moment never came. Think about if you never had that opportunity. You know, I look here and I see a group of people, most of which I think are going to heaven. Hallelujah. But there was a point where you weren't going to heaven. There was a point when your destination was hell, eternal damnation. I mean, there was a point where there was a point in time in your life when your eternal address was going to be a place where the worm never dies and the fire never burns out. A place that Jesus said there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. That was your destination. But somebody did something. Praise the Lord. And aren't you glad? And see, and this is getting into some of what the kingdom of God is. But we understand that Jesus said, he's like, ask and you will receive, it will be given to you. He says, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened. These are the promises he said. But we have to be willing to do at least that. See, we live in a society today where it's so common to just do what you want to do and kind of forget about the rest. You know, even this culture, this culture that, you know, they want to act like they're doing right for everybody, but they're not. It's all self-motivated. And none of it is truly about other people. And none of it is about laying down your life for someone else. It's all about yourself. You know, and if that's the way you want to live, that's fine. I mean, you can live that way, but you're going to answer for that. And I'm just here telling you. And if sometimes there's some people that come through these doors and all I'll ever be to them is a witness. For when they stand before Jesus. And Jesus says, depart from me, I never knew you. And he said, here was one of my ministers that told you the truth and you didn't listen. See, this is the truth of what we're talking about. And I'm not trying to get all like, I'm not trying to take this all sad, amen. I want to keep it in a head. But we have to realize the way things are. We have to realize, you know, when you press on, and when you're pressing on into the things of God, it isn't always easy. Sometimes, because the Bible tells us that there is an enemy. In fact, I know that you know this, that if you just started doing right, if you just started doing things good and you just started getting it all good and things, you know, things started changing and then all of a sudden, whammo, right? Here come the devil knocking. And a lot of times people, first thing they do is they turn to God and they're like, why God? Yes. He said, I told you why. I told you why there's a devil after you. But he was going to be there anyways. Yes. See, the devil, he'll lie to you. He'll get you offended. You know, that's another thing. Offense in the church is one of the greatest, that is one of the greatest tools the devil uses to remove people. Getting offended. Getting mad because the preacher said something I didn't like to hear. Well, I mean, are you really that touchy that somebody can't say something that you don't like to hear and you got to leave a place that you know is your blessing because of it? That sounds like foolishness to me. Praise the Lord. I'm going to tell you what, my pastor told me a lot of things I didn't like to hear. Saved my stinking life. Hallelujah. I'm glad he told me things I didn't like to hear. You don't think I didn't hear about tithing? I didn't want to hear that. Man, when I remember putting $5 in the offering plate one time thinking I'm doing God a favor. And when I found out I was tipping him and not even good, hallelujah, yeah, because I made more than that. You understand? If $5 is your, you know, and it's not about tithing, but you understand what I'm saying. You know what I mean? I've been to that place where about living right and just, you know, putting down certain things. I remember when you know, my wife and I, we like to go have some wine. We love to go do that. We loved it. Yeah, make sure with the accent I got going on that we're enunciating right here, amen. We loved to go do that, hallelujah. We loved to drink. We didn't even drink a lot, but you know, just you know, once in a while we like to get a little, you know, a little buzz on or whatever, you know. It wasn't like we weren't out partying and stuff like that. We were being good people, you know what I mean? We're out just doing. But you know something? I remember when my pastor, he would hammer on it. And I remember getting mad. I remember talking against him, saying, oh, he doesn't know what he's talking about. He's just saying that. But no, he's saying that because he was saying it from a place of knowledge in the Word. And then a knowledge in life, praise the Lord. See, we don't just say things that are our opinion or our ideas. We share the Word of God because it changes lives as people connect to it. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. I love the Lord. I love the Word because the Word just keeps us straight. Because no matter how much you hate what I'm saying, you can't deny it was written here and I didn't write this. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise God. Hallelujah. So anyways, we're there. Let's go back to Matthew 6, 9. We're going to kind of see from these scriptures all kind of go together. So you're not very far. And I got to go back one page and it's just right over the edge there. 6, 9, and 10. Oh, yes. I love this. I love this. The Lord's Prayer. Praise the Lord. Says here, in this manner, therefore pray. Jesus said this, right? Our Father in heaven. So he said, in this manner. So he's saying, like this. Pray like this. Okay? So what's he do first? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. First, he talks about how holy God is. All right? This is going to help us in prayer, right? Then verse 10, he says, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's a very important thing right there. I want to focus on that for a minute. There's some things that we can see from these scriptures here. Number one, what we can see is that God's will is not automatic on the earth, right? And we see that there. We say, how do we see that? Well, he wouldn't be telling us to do something that was automatic. If his will was automatic, he wouldn't say, pray for my will to be done on earth, would he? Right? I mean, that's just common sense. If there's anyone who disagree with that, well, we have to talk afterwards, amen. But you know what I'm saying? Like the first thing we understand is God's will is not automatic on the earth. Amen? Another thing we can see from these scriptures is God's kingdom isn't here, but he desires that it should be. Your kingdom come. Now, I want you to see this, too, because in these two, right here it says, your kingdom come, your will be done. It doesn't say, please send your kingdom. No, this is a demand. He says, your kingdom come. Yeah. We need to demand. We need to contend for these things. Yeah. Remember that? Remember that back when I said what seeking was? It was craving. It was desiring. It was demanding. Yeah. We need to demand. This is what this is. Seeking God's kingdom. Kingdom come. First, the first thing we need to do is we need to desire that God's kingdom be here because it's not here. I said God's kingdom isn't here, amen? And we're going to look at what the kingdom is in a minute, but I wanted to kind of build this for you. So we see that God's kingdom is not here, but he desires it to be. And the other thing that we're to demand is that his will be done. So if his will is not done and his kingdom is not here automatically, but he requires us to pray for it, to ask for it, to desire it, to beg for it, to crave it, That's a major thing. This is a place where a lot of Christians miss it. Because I'm going to tell you, and I just know this from my experience, but most Christians, all they pray for is stuff they need or stuff they want. They don't even think about this other stuff. Jesus said, don't worry about that stuff. But why do you worry about that stuff? Because you don't know this other stuff. You don't know that Jesus said, don't worry about your stuff. He said, don't even think about it. You know, if you're thinking about it, you're worrying about it. Say, well, I'm not worrying about it. I'm just thinking about it a little bit. No, you're worrying about it. Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. How do you know? Well, because when you don't have a bill, you don't worry about it, do you? No. You only worry about it when it comes. You don't know how it's going to get paid. Yeah. Right? But if you got $1 million in the bank and you know that, if somebody sends you a bill for $10, you don't even think about it. Yeah. Praise the Lord. It's just not even a thought in your mind, is it? That's exactly what Jesus is saying. Don't worry about this stuff. He's saying, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all of it will be added to you. It'll all be there for you. Amen? Praise God. So we're desiring God's kingdom. We got to ask for it. This prayer, And I'm going to go back to this again. This prayer, the Lord's Prayer, is something we recite in churches worldwide. People know this prayer, but they have no idea what this is even talking about. People know this prayer all over the world. You go to any Baptist church, any Methodist church. You go to any probably any Catholic church. You go to any, it doesn't matter what name is on the door. Anywhere in the world, and I guarantee you that if you find somebody who's been there for more than 10 minutes, they could probably recite this entire prayer. Shoot, I've heard songs that are this prayer. Praise the Lord. People make it into a song. But they don't understand what it means. Let's not be Christians that just can repeat stuff. But we understand what God wants out of it. We understand what God, because when we understand, and I'm going to get you here. But when you understand what the kingdom is, when you understand what the kingdom of God really entails, you're going to think about it a lot differently. You're going to start realizing, wait a minute, there's a lot more to this prayer than I previously thought. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. The kingdom of God is not a place. This is one thing I always thought. I thought the kingdom of God is heaven. That's not what the kingdom of God is. You're looking at me, some of you are looking at me like a cow at a new gate, praise the Lord. But it's not. What is a kingdom? It's an authority. It's a ruling body. Hallelujah. You understand, if you research this word, if you get into what the kingdom is, that's exactly what it means. God wants his ruling authority, his body, His way of doing things. His, you know, when you think about a kingdom, you think about, okay, I was thinking, you know what I was thinking about was like, when there was called colonialism or whatever, when everybody's trying to claim lands for their country, you know, and they're sending people out, they're spending gobs of money to go out and put their flag first. Heck, we even put a flag on the moon saying this is America's piece of the moon. Hallelujah. You know, praise God, hallelujah. You know what I'm talking about? But when you're under that jurisdiction, you know, we have islands around the United States, real close to the United States, that aren't part of the United States. I mean, like within a stone's throw, basically, as far as islands go. And they're not part of the United States. They're like, you know, like the British Virgin Islands, stuff like that. They operate under a different set of rules. You can't go there and as an American and just do American things. There's a different set of rules. Hallelujah. My wife and I and kids are going to Canada. We're going to some special meetings up in Canada. And when we're up in Canada, there's a different set. Even though it's like America light, it's different. When you're up there, I'm always relieved a little bit when I come back across the border. You know what I'm saying? I just am. I don't know what it is. You know, when I was younger, I went up there. I went up there and we were doing we shouldn't, you know, you go up there and do things you shouldn't. That's what we used to do when we were younger, go to Canada to get away with stuff you couldn't get away with in the U.S. And you know, I just had this kind of, I had this really, this real kind of bad thought about Canadians. I just thought they were weak, you know. I was like, if we ever want to take over Canada, all we got to do is send in the Boy Scouts. Because that's pretty much all. You know, I didn't take anything seriously. You got, you know, the mounted police, the Mounties, hallelujah. And I was like, you know, the Mounties, what are the Mounties? You know, Royal Mounted Police. You know what I mean? I was afraid of no Mountie. So I remember I was driving around all bold and probably a little bit drunk. Yeah, it was the truth. I'm just going to be honest with you. I was up there doing things I shouldn't. But I was driving around bold. I didn't have my seatbelt on. I'm just driving down the road. And I'm like, I don't need to stop for that stop sign. All of a sudden, one of those royal mounted police, he wasn't on a horse, he was in a car, he decided that I couldn't just do what I want, and he pulled me over. And he came up to the car, and I was probably a little bit smug or whatever, but when he started talking to me, I realized awfully quickly that this guy had some authority. I realized that, wait a minute, I couldn't just do whatever I wanted in Canada. And the way he was talking, I was pretty scared to be there right then, hallelujah. Because I wasn't doing what was right, you understand? You see, when there's authority, when there's a rulership in place, it doesn't matter what you think, that is going to be the thing that flies, amen? God's kingdom, the kingdom of God, is his ruling ability, it's his power. See, where Christians have been duped by the devil, somewhere along the lines, religion has taught Christians that God's will automatically happens on earth. They can recite the Lord's Prayer, and yet they still think that God's will is just automatic on the earth. He tells you to pray for it. He tells you to pray for something that isn't there. God isn't going to tell you to pray for healing if you're not sick. No. Do you pray for money if you don't need money? No. You're not praying for things you don't need. You only pray for things you need, right? God was telling us, pray. The first thing he said to pray, the first thing after we glorify his name, when we come before our Father, the first thing we do after we glorify his name, I'm trying to, you know, build, you got to understand, glorify God. The first thing you do is demand his kingdom comes, and you demand his will be done. And see, when people, when churches have taught people that God's will is automatic on the earth, what they have done is they have placed them in the realm of not receiving from God and letting the devil wreak havoc in their lives. This is why. The Bible is very clear that the dominion of Satan is this earth. Jesus came to restore authority, and this is why he talked about the kingdom of God. He was talking about the ruling power of God. He said, when you take your authority, I've given you the ability to take your authority back. But unless you do it, you ain't going to have it. Praise the Lord. Now, what if that police officer up there just decided he wasn't going to even bother with me? I'd have gone around doing whatever I wanted to do, right? Yeah. I would have been up there. I might have still been up there being an idiot. Who knows? You know what I'm saying? But when there was authority, when it stopped it, the foolishness stopped. Yeah. And so what we have to understand is that God wants to bring his ruling power back to the earth. But because of the way that he set the earth up to work, it is not going to be automatic. He said, you must do it. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So God's the kingdom of God is not a place. It is a his ruling authority. The principles that govern a place. That's what I wanted to say. The principles that govern a place. God's righteousness is his way of thinking. When he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he's saying, seek first his authority, his principles that govern, and his way of thinking. If you seek these things first, you'll never go without anything. If you seek God's place to come here and reestablish, and we're going to see what's entailed in this, amen? We're going to see this coming up, amen? We decide whether or not God's kingdom operates in our lives. We decide whether or not God's kingdom operates in our churches. The body of people. Listen, if there's 10 people that get on board with this, there'll be a 10 people blessing. Hallelujah. But what happens if 50 people got on board with this? What would happen if 100 people got on board with this? What about if 100 people started to stop living under the lies of the devil and started saying, you know what? I want the ruling power of God in my life. And when you see what's in the ruling power of God, you're going to be pretty excited, I think. Amen? This is why God said to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Glory, hallelujah. Turn with me to Luke. We're going to stay a lot in the Gospels. I mean, maybe solely in the Gospels today. Go to Luke 10. Praise the Lord. Luke 10, and we're going to read verses 1 through 12. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also, and he sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Notice he sent his disciples out before he was about to go there. Because what was Jesus bringing? Oh, man, Jesus was bringing God to the earth. Hallelujah. He's still doing this. Amen. Then he said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. Carry neither money bag, knapsack, nor sandals, and greet no one along the road. And he wasn't talking about being rude there, but there was this thing in Eastern cultures that they would that a greeting would, like, they would have to do this ritual thing back and forth, and it would be like it would take all this time; it'd just be a big waste of time. And he was saying, and this, and the reason I bring this up is because a lot of times we do things that are just a big waste of time, when Jesus just said, "Go and do this." You know what I mean? We kind of find ways to make it last longer and stuff like that. But God, actually churches do this a lot. Because churches will spend more time on their rituals and their practices and their little sayings and all this stuff than they will on actually preaching the word. And that's why people don't get fed. That's why people ain't getting helped. Amen? Oh, praise the Lord. And greet no one along the road, but whatever house you enter, first say, peace to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you. Now, this is another interesting thing. See, in the scripture, a lot of times when somebody is being called, when they get called a son of something, it means that's a characteristic they're known for. Yeah. Amen? So if a son of peace is there, somebody who practices peace is there, then your peace will rest upon it. And basically, what he's saying is the person receives you, then stay. If they don't receive you, then go, is what he's saying. And remain in that same house, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Dear Lord, that throws out the idea that people want pastors to be poor. Just saying, but that's what the word says. Do not go from house to house. God said, go somewhere, stay there, plant yourself, and then start preaching the word. Amen? Whatever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you, and heal the sick there. Where are you healing the sick? The ones that receive you, right? That's where you do the work of God. The ones that receive the teacher, the preacher, whatever, the ones who's receiving the word. This is where things get really hairy. But God is really trying to lay out something for us here to understand. Amen. That's why when we have guest ministers in, why do you think we take care of them? Because the Bible says to. Because those who do are blessed. Praise the Lord. I mean, listen, if you understood when there's a gift before you, if you understood what God really wants you to do with it and how it would bless your life if you actually hooked up to it, well, praise the Lord. I mean, that's free, no charge, but it's the truth. Hallelujah. We just had Pastor Webb here. What an amazing, amazing man of God. This man had a church of over 2,000 people. He travels worldwide, and he came to Mayville, New York. His church gave Brother Hagin one of the largest offerings. It was over $100,000, an offering, gave Brother Hagin. There's some people that bothers. I'm going to tell you something. I don't care if that bothers you, then you got a problem. Why? Because I'm going to tell you something. Brother Hagin changed this world. We wouldn't be sitting here today. Those people that have received healing in this church, you wouldn't have received your healing if he hadn't preached the word that he did. See, God will use people, and we need to honor that. Amen? Praise the Lord. It's high time that people stop being stingy and cheap when it comes to the ministry. You understand? But he has these amazing moves of God all over the place. People healed. People's lives changed. Amen? All over the world. And he came to Mayville. He came to Mayville. We didn't even have to pay to get him here. He was just here and he said, hey, can I come? And I was actually, it was on my heart to have him, which is good. But it's not necessarily always inexpensive to have a guest minister in, because when they come in, you are expected to pay. And that's not because of them. I mean, Pastor Webb, if I told him to come in, praise the Lord, if I asked him to come in and said, Pastor Webb, I can't give you a dime, he would be here. I guarantee you he would be here. But I'm going to tell you something. I would never do that to somebody, because I'm not a fool and I'm not cheap. Praise the Lord. If I had to do it out of my own pocket, I would. And we've proven that because we've done that. Amen? Praise the Lord. Every penny that this church started with, my wife and I sowed into it. I'm not joking. Every penny that it cost to start this church, my wife and I paid for it, and then some. Amen? Praise the Lord. And we give and we give and we give and we give and we give. Why do we talk about that? Because that's what people are hung up on. That's where people stay hung up on. They don't realize that, and that's attached to their heart. But whatever. You know, that's free. Praise the Lord. Jesus talked about it over and over again. I guess I can too. Whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you, and heal the sick there, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. But whatever city you enter and they do not receive you, go out into its streets and say, the very dust of your city which clings to us, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near you. But I say to you that it will be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Whatever city will not receive you, the kingdom of God has still come near. The kingdom of God, you notice what we saw there, first thing we saw is the healing power of God. He said, heal the people there. Do you know anybody who's been sick that wouldn't give $1 million to have it be ended? I mean, something serious. How many people every year die of cancer? How many people every year die of heart attacks? How many people every year die of diabetes or some other disease? And Jesus said, heal those ones. How about diseases that doctors don't even know what they are? How many people die every year or just live in misery because of that? The gospel will change all that. The kingdom of God, when it comes near, it will change that. And his ruling power and his authority comes near. You say, well, why do we only see a certain level of it? Because there's only a certain level that this church is willing to go. There's only a certain level that any church is willing to go. You got to ask yourself, are you all in? Because if you're not all in, you may be the hang-up that's keeping the rest of us from going in. Yeah, see, the kingdom of God wants to come. But as long as those, you see what I'm saying? Because he said those who resist, he said wipe off the dust off your feet. Wipe it off and say it'd be more tolerable for Sodom in the day of judgment. You know what Sodom is? Sodom is one of the cities that was destroyed. God destroyed with fire from heaven. He destroyed it. Sodom and Gomorrah destroyed it because of their immoral living. He said that a city that will not receive one that I send there. Praise the Lord. You want Mayville to receive. You want Mayville to be one to receive. Because you live here. Amen? You live in this area. It's not just, you know, a city. It can encompass an area, too. You live here. You don't want to stand before Jesus and say, hey, it was more tolerable for Sodom than what you're going to receive. See, this is why it's important. But what we see is when we receive God, when we receive, he said it. But see, God is very, it's very important to him that people receive his son because of the price his son paid. And if your son paid the same price, you'd feel the same way. You wouldn't be willing to just let, but there's people that spit on the promises of God. There's people that spit on the work of the Lord. And when I mean spit on it, it's because they'll turn it down for things that don't matter. They'll say, I'd rather go do this, and they'll go do that, and then that's why they don't have. But see, you don't understand the things you're missing out on aren't just here now. The things you're missing out, you will stand before the Lord. I'm here to tell you, I am a witness before you today. There will be a day that you stand before Jesus and you will answer for every offense that you didn't get under control, for every time that you knew that you were supposed to do something and you didn't do it, every word you didn't speak, every offering you didn't give into. Oh, I'm telling you, amen. You will answer before Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But we see that the kingdom of God, so in the kingdom of God, we see healing. We also see provision because he said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things will be added to you. So all of God's provision, everything you could ever need or want. Right? We studied that stuff out enough. We shouldn't be able to say that scripture doesn't say that here anyways in this church. Amen? So everything you could ever need or want, everything that you could ever be healed from, any disease that could ever come against you. But we also see in throughout scripture that every time there's an attack from the enemy, it can't stand against you. Every demonic power that comes against you. I've watched demons working in people. I've been sitting here preaching, and I've watched demons working in people as I've been preaching. And I've sought the Lord. You may have heard me stop before and say, Lord, do you want me to address that? Do you want me to deal with that? I've seen it. I've seen it, I said. Hallelujah. Because people will yield to things. Why do you think people get caught up in stuff? Because they yield to spirits. You know, if you get caught up into things like pornography, there's a spirit behind that that's urging you on. Any kind of addiction, it doesn't matter what it is. It's a spirit that drives those things. Amen? But Jesus cast out the spirits. The kingdom of God cast out the spirits and said, you can't stay. You can't be here. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we see that healing is part of what the kingdom of God. And you notice when the ministry came, it wasn't a curse to the people. Yeah, they took care of them, but it wasn't a curse to the people. Praise the Lord. And that's really what Josh was saying today when he was talking about tithes and offerings. About taking care of the church, just making sure it's, praise God, hallelujah. We do things because we want to make sure that God's house speaks of God's power, God's ability, God's will and his desire. Amen? Because there's so many that teach the opposite. Turn with me to Mark 12, 28. Praise the Lord. Mark 12, 28. We're going to see this again. And again, I'm just using a few examples. A few examples. Basically, God's kingdom is what gives us the right to walk in all the blessing of God. Because all of his authority is what gives us all the blessings, all the promises that we can receive from God. That all comes from God's authority. That's all where it stems from. Amen? 12:28. Then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked Jesus, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first commandment. Look at that. You'll love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul. Not just the leftovers on Sunday morning. Not just the leftovers sometimes here and there through the week. No, with everything that's in you. With all your thoughts. You love the Lord. You put him first. You think about God. Hallelujah. This is the first commandment. I tell you, some people just don't like this, and that's fine. It's fine. I'm going to spend eternity because I love this Lord. I'm going to spend eternity in joy, in peace. I'm going to live in good things here on the earth because I spend my time with the Lord because I love my God. I love my Jesus. Hallelujah. He's my God. He's my Jesus. He paid the price for me, and I love him for it. Hallelujah. I don't care what the devil, so you know, the devil is throwing a lot of stuff at me this week. But I'm going to tell you right now, I still love God more than anything. I love the Lord. I love Jesus. Praise the Lord. Sure, there's times where I feel like I just want to go home too. Just take me home, Lord. There's times I feel like that. I'll tell you what, in ministry, there's lots of opportunities to feel that way. But you know what? I still love Jesus through it. I still love Jesus because I know, hallelujah, I love him with my whole heart. And I will serve God, and I will love God, and I will walk in his blessing here on earth, and I will spend eternity enjoying blessing in heaven. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's a great thing. That's a great thing. Hallelujah. Okay, so this is the first commandment. And he said, the second like it is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment, no other commandment greater than these. Hallelujah. My thing shut off. Amen. Praise the Lord. There is no commandment greater than these. So the scribe said to him, well said, teacher. You have spoken the truth, for there is one God, and there is no other but he. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as one's is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. So what we see here, well, let me finish here. Verse 34, now Jesus saw that he answered wisely, and he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. But after that, no one dared question him. You are not far from the kingdom of God. So what do we see? Another thing that we find in the kingdom of God? Pure love. It's pure love. It's love for God and it's love for your neighbor. You know, when you get into 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8, and you look at what love, true love really is, what godly love really is, ain't nobody goes without. Nobody goes without in love. I mean, that's where joy and peace is. Amen? You ever been in love? Is there anyone here been in love? Oh, praise the Lord, I'm in love right now. This fine, beautiful young woman sitting here in the front row, praise the Lord. Talking about my wife, not my mom, but I'm in love with her too. Amen, hallelujah. But I'm just so much love every day, amen, godly love. I just love it, it's wonderful. It's part of the kingdom of God. So what we see in the kingdom of God, his ruling authority, what do we see? We see complete supply for everything we need, right? For everything we need. So we don't have to worry about anything. Nothing. Everybody say, don't worry about nothing. Praise the Lord. I know that wasn't maybe grammatically correct, but so we don't worry about nothing. Then healing is found there. But now we also see that pure love, the truest of love, God's love, is in that kingdom. When that kingdom comes nigh, when that kingdom comes upon us. Amen? Praise the Lord. I don't know about you, but that means something to me. That's pretty awesome. Because you know what the world needs now? It's love, sweet love. Hallelujah. That's where we're at, right? I mean, everybody knows that. What's the cure for rioting and fighting? It's love. I'll tell you what, both the Republicans and the Democrats could get together and enjoy each other if they just learned to love. If they just learned God's love. If you gave them all 1 Corinthians 13:4-8, and they actually took heed to it, I don't care what they would stop being Republicans, stop being Democrats. They would join together and say, let's be friends, hallelujah. I mean, it sounds goofy, but that's what God wants. He wants unity, hallelujah. He doesn't want us to be divided about things. Guess what else happens in love? Everybody's needs are met. I know that we already said everybody's needs are met, but everybody's needs are met in love. Because what do you do when you love somebody? You take care of them, don't you? If they're hurt, you fix them. You do what you can do to help them, don't you? If you see somebody that you love, see, this is what God's kingdom wants to do. Amen? Love tells the truth. The Bible tells us that. There's no more lies. There's no lies, no place for lies in love. Amen? So as love is built in us and it works through us, it will drive that snarf out. Listen, if you're somebody who's been prone to lying, love will cure that. Well, you get God's love on the inside of you, it'll help you. Amen? You see, people get caught up. The Bible says that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. But what we wrestle against are these principalities and powers, these things that the kingdom of God drives out. Yeah, because love comes upon us. And love is the power of God. It is the very, love is the reason why we serve. Why do we serve? Why do we serve and just run after everything that we got? Why do we contend with people day in and day out? Because of love. Because we love people. I love every single one of you, and every single one of you I've told at some point, probably many times, that I love you. And you think that I'm just saying it because I'm a pastor, but I'm saying it because I look at your face and I honest to God love you with my entire heart. I love every person that's ever stepped foot in one of my churches. Every person that I've ever ministered in front of. I love them with my entire heart. I would give anything. I give my life for them. I don't do this for myself. I don't do this because I do it because God did it for me. And I do it because somebody, God put somebody before me that was willing to seek the kingdom of God, that was willing to go after it and say, you know what? I won't go without it. Hallelujah. We don't just do things. We don't just say things. You know, I also don't put up with crap. You know what I'm saying? I won't do that either. But I do that out of love too. Ask my children, I don't put up with garbage. Amen, right? You guys say amen, you know. He don't put up with crap, but he loves me. You all know that I love you, right? Hallelujah. Glory to God. But the one I'll put up with garbage from is her. But she don't have any garbage, so it all works out good. And everyone said, Pastor Jeff, you answered correctly. Praise the Lord. I love the church. I love pastoring. I love the things that God has given me to do. I love it when someone comes to me and they say, someone shares. You know, we haven't even shared all the testimonies. We have a wonderful testimony. I've been waiting to share it. Tammy, you mind if I share it real quick? About your grandson. She brought him here to pray for him. He had some issues with, I can't remember exactly what they were, but they were kind of some serious issues, amen? And she asked that we would pray. And so we prayed. We agreed in faith and we prayed. This isn't because we're magic or something so special. But because we've been taught the word. And then what happened? He's completely healed, right? Completely set free of it. And the diagnosis wasn't really great, right? Yeah. But I mean, they were saying that it wasn't really a great thing, right? I mean, it was like less than great. We had a young child in here that had a spot on her brain. And we pray for the same thing. See, because we're taught the word and we teach the word, and the kingdom of God has come near to Mayville. The kingdom of God is here, and it's waiting to be fully manifested. Amen? See, and I like to give other testimonies too, because we don't just have a few. There's people whose lives have been changed just because they were seeking a job. They needed new employment because they needed more money, and God provided it for them because they got faithful. And there's others that have gotten off off medications, and you've got, you know, and there's other people that are still getting there, and they're coming through it, but they're getting to the other side because the word is preached, and we stay bold and we stay true to what God's doing. You understand? Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, see, some people don't like our churches. They don't like the stuff that we teach. But I don't care. Because the stuff we teach is the word of God. It's the kingdom of God. And it's the power to set people free. Amen. Praise the Lord. And you know what I love about it? Both God and your pastor are like this. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you have been, it didn't matter if you have been partially on and partially off. Maybe you've been a fence sitter. You've been like, I don't know. But you come over the other side, we'll forget all that. You know what I'm saying? God and I just want you to get on board, just want you to do what God wants you to do. Amen? And you need to understand that every church has people like that. I was a fence sitter. I was the fence sitteringest of the fence sitters. Hallelujah. I was. Hallelujah. I sat that fence and I didn't want to be moved. And I got to that place, you know, I was wishy-washy. I was all those things. So all the things I preach against, I was most of those. Amen. That's the truth. Just the truth. I stayed there for a while. Praise the Lord. But my heart was after God. And because my heart was after God, He didn't let me stay there forever. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Okay, so you're in Mark. Let's turn back to Matthew. Go to Matthew 21. Praise the Lord. Matthew 21, verses 42 and 43. Then Jesus said to them, "Have you never read this in the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it was marvelous in our eyes." Now, that's referring to an Old Testament prophecy, and it's speaking about Jesus. He's called the stone that the builders rejected. He was also called a stumbling block, amen, in the Old Testament. That's what, because what happened was is Israel was supposed to be God's builders, okay? But the Israelites, they rejected God. They rejected Jesus. They rejected Him as the Messiah. And this is exactly what that scripture was referring to. The stone which the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. So this was the Lord's doing, and it was marvelous in our eyes. It was amazing that He did that. Amen. And it's awesome because He became our chief cornerstone as a result. Now look at this. This really clears it up here, and this is really important for us to understand. Verse 43. "Therefore I say to you, because of that, I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a nation bearing the fruits of it." Hallelujah. The kingdom of God, the ruling power of God, God's ability, God's promise, all the stuff that God has wrapped up and given to the church. Look, He was saying this is what He was speaking to the Jews, but it applies to us as well. He says it will be taken from you and given to a nation bearing fruits. In other words, if you aren't bearing fruits of the kingdom of God, it'll get removed from you. If you don't, and listen, if you're not a Christian who grows, God will remove that right for you to have that. Because He's not going to contend for you with you forever. He will say, if you aren't going to prove out fruit, if you're not going to have fruit, bearing fruit of the kingdom of God. In other words, if you're not showing the things that the kingdom of God should show, why do you think churches, really, in reality, why do you think a lot of churches are closing down? Because there's a lot of churches that don't bear the fruit of the kingdom of God. I'm telling you. I mean, Pastor Scott sent me a snippet advertised for a church. They were going to teach Jesus with literally, this is what they said, with popcorn, poems, and something else. What was it? Magic tricks. What? I'm not joking. This is a local church. Popcorn, poems, and magic tricks. Okay, I can do a few magic tricks. I can pull a quarter out your ear. You don't believe me, just you can bring me a quarter. I'll show you. I'll make it disappear too. I make 100 disappear out of your hand. Hallelujah. I'll teach you some magic tricks. Hallelujah. No. It's a joke. But I can pull a quarter out of your ear. I can make a ball go through my knee and come out the other side. Praise the Lord. I can do all kinds of fancy things like that. But that ain't gonna help you. That's not gonna set you free. When you're dealing with the devil and you start saying, wait a minute, well, what was that? What was that thing that pastor did? He pulled a cigarette out of his nose. How did he do that? Yeah, I can do that too. Hallelujah. I just don't do that anymore because I don't smoke anymore. Hallelujah. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, praise God. I can make chickens out of towels. You don't think I can, but I can. Praise the Lord. My mom knows. My Aunt Jean knows all about that. Praise the Lord. You ask him sometime. But you know, that stuff isn't setting people free. That stuff ain't helping people. What people are doing is churches are trying to get gimmicky just to get people in the doors. We don't get gimmicky because that's not going to help people. We don't do this. We don't do programs and stuff like that. I'm not against fellowship and doing things. We do all that stuff, you know. But when there's work to be done, we do the work, and that's what we focus on. Amen. Praise the Lord. Incidentally, this parade is all about that. This parade that the Lord put it on our heart. I have thought about parades for many years, especially because Mayville's got a big parade, pretty good sized parade. You know, it's well known. I've thought about it for years, and every time I thought about it, I cringed. It had nothing to do with a parade. This year, I'm like, all of a sudden, my wife and I, I think we were down in Brockton, right? We were eating breakfast in Brockton. You ever eat breakfast in Brockton? Well, we did. Praise the Lord. You eat breakfast in Brockton, and you get inspired to have parades. I'm telling you, it happens. It's exactly what we're like, we got to get in that parade. We got to do this. Hallelujah. Why? Because we want to reach people. So we're going to make it a big showy thing, and we're going to do our best to be noticed. Why? Because we want people to see what God's doing. Amen. So that'll be our gimmicky thing. When we get them in here, then we'll deal with them how we deal with them. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But we want to bear fruits of it. You know, those stuff, you know, like things, little events, different things like that. It's not wrong. Don't get me wrong. But when your focus is that stuff, it doesn't help people. It doesn't change lives. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Turn with me now. We're getting close to the end, actually, here. Luke 17, 20. I told you we're going to stay in the Gospels, but we're just kind of flipping back and forth. We're looking for the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God. Luke 17, 20 and 21. Oh, look at this. Oh, I'm so excited to give you this scripture. I mean, this really blesses me, because this is going to open our eyes to something. Now when he, and that was Jesus, was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, 'See here' or 'See there.' For indeed, the kingdom of God is within you." Hallelujah. The kingdom of God, you know what that means? You got this thing on the inside of you called a heart. And I'm not talking about the thing that's pumping blood all through your body. But the heart of your body, it's where your spirit is. The kingdom of God is there. It's waiting for you to tap into it. It's waiting for you to get into it, to expose it, to let it come out, to dare to let it break out of you and start changing something. You see, when Jesus sent them out, he didn't send out people who were well-trained and well-equipped. They weren't people who had gone to seminary for 15 years. He didn't send out people that had been with him for 20 years. He sent out people. He sent out fishermen. He sent out people that didn't know anybody, but people that had it on the inside of them. And he said, you got it on the inside of them. So when you take it to the city, you take the healing. You know, Christians should be laying hands on the sick. Yeah. Do you understand that? When you're at work maybe sometime, if you have enough faith, maybe you'll be at work sometime and somebody will say, you know something, I've got this thing. And you could say to them, well, why don't you let me, I believe in the power of God and the laying on of hands. And Jesus said that I can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. What happens then? Husbands and wives, do you lay hands on each other? You're not feeling well. Do you say, you know, lay hands on each other and say, be healed in the name of Jesus and believe it so? Do you lay hands on your children and say, be healed in the name of Jesus? See, because I'm going to tell you, if you're a parent and there's something in your family, it's only there because you're letting it be there. Because God gave you the power to get it out. But you got to stand against it. And it ain't always easy to stand against it. I know I've been standing against stuff this week. I'm telling you, it come against you sometimes. And it'll persist against you. But what are you going to do? You're going to praise the Lord. You're going to stand against it. You're going to say, I'm not going to take this. I won't receive this. It's not mine. When you get opposition, you say, this is a ruling power of God. This is the kingdom of God coming out of you. Hallelujah. It's on the inside. Jesus said it's on the inside of you. Let it come out.
Speak against those things that are dogging you. Don't talk about how big the devil is. Talk about how big your God is. Talk about how you can get over this. How you can do this. Lord, your grace is sufficient for me. I say, we don't just throw these scriptures out there because they're fun to hear. You know, I want to get you excited and stirred up when you leave here, but more than that, I want you to go home and actually put it to practice. When the devil comes knocking on your door, I want you to stand up and say, no, Mr. Devil, I ain't having it. I'm not having it this time. I may have had it before, I ain't having it no more. I'm telling you the truth, hallelujah. You stand against the wiles of the devil, praise the Lord. Glory to God, hallelujah. For indeed, the kingdom of God is within you. I just love that. Man, I couldn't even shout that enough. It's so awesome. I'm going to close with this, Mark 16:15. And he said to them, Jesus said to them, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He's saying, bring the kingdom of God back to the world. Preach the gospel. The gospel is where the kingdom is, where we find out about the kingdom. The kingdom of God is his ruling power, his ability. It's the answer to every question that we could have. It's the answer to everything that opposes us. It is the thing that we stand against the wild the devil. It is everything that we need to do everything we need to do. To be the Christians that we need to be. We need to be people who are bearing fruits of the kingdom so we don't lose the kingdom. I don't want to lose the ability. I don't want to lose the power. I don't want to lose God's manifestation. Hallelujah. I want the fullness of it. Amen? And I know you do too. Praise the Lord. We're going to do this. We're going to walk in the power of God. We're going to continue on in the things of God. And I'm just here to encourage you. You know, there's some things that I even the Lord dealt with me in the middle of the night last night. Dealt with me about that we just don't focus on enough. You know, I sent out a slick text a few months ago because I was praying, and out of my spirit I started hearing amazing miracles. I started speaking amazing miracles in Mayville. Have we been saying that? Have we been speaking those things out? I doubt it. Because if we had all been saying it, we've been saying it in faith, we'd be seeing them now. I want amazing miracles. We see miracles. I don't want miracles. I want amazing miracles. I want miracles that are so big that we gotta have multiple services on Sunday. And I don't want to have multiple services on Sunday. You know what I'm saying? But that's what I want it so pressed our cup is running over. We're like, where are we going to put them all? Do you understand what I'm saying? Bring me your sick. Hallelujah. We'll lay hands on. Bring me your tired. Praise the Lord. We'll help them. Praise the Lord. Because Jesus said to come to him, everyone who labors and is heavy laden, and he'll give them rest. And we'll show them that doorway. But we need to confess these things, amen? We need to confess amazing miracles in this town, in this church. We need to believe God for it, both in this town and this church. We need to believe God that we have a great impact. And we're not going to lessen up on it. We're not going to lighten up on it. No, Lord, we are going to be effective in the thing that we do. We are going to be effective Christians. Hallelujah. Why? Because we want to experience the full power. Amen? The miracle working power of God, you ain't seen nothing yet. The things that God has for us, you haven't seen yet. You haven't even imagined yet. I'm going to tell you, there's some people in here that haven't even been in the faith that long. But I'm going to tell you, there's things that God has you can't even imagine. And he's ready to pour it out. But we got to be willing to go with him, amen? And we're going to be those people that go. We're going to take one. We're going to do. If you, don't try to just jump. Don't just try to jump from here over the mountain, all right? Let's take the next step, amen? And then we'll take the next step, and we'll take the next step, and we're going to get there together, amen? Father, we praise you and worship you. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for all that you do for us. God, you're so good to us. You're so worthy of praise. So worthy of honor. Father, we glorify your name. We glorify who you are. We praise you, Lord Jesus, for all that you do. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise you, God. Hallelujah. Scott, I'm just led of the Lord to tell you that I see the other side. I can see it. I'm seeing it today. I see the other side. And you're going there, brother. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You just rejoice in it. You say it's coming. It's coming. It's coming. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, 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 Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Praise the Lord. John, I don't know if, Gitchard here, I don't know if the Lord's been showing you any more of some of the things that I've been speaking over you, but I'm seeing more and more, brother. I'm seeing your eyes being open to things that you didn't see before. And, you know, that's for your whole family too, of course. You know, that's not just for you, but I know that the Lord's been directing me to say things to you. And so I see it coming, and you just keep seeing it. You keep looking for it. Remember, seek and you'll find. Hallelujah. Knocking, it's open to you. Just keep looking for it, brother. Coming, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, 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 Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Father, we praise you and worship you. You're so worthy. We praise you and worship you. You're so worthy. We praise you and worship you. So worthy. Father, you're so worthy. So worthy. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, please, nobody looking around. We give this opportunity every week. We just do this because, you know, it's the most important thing that you can ever do is to receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. And you say, what is that? Well, the Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. First and foremostly, that's talking about getting into heaven. And so if you want to get into heaven, that's the only way to do it. But secondly, that is for living this life here on earth. And it gives you access into that kingdom that I was preaching about today. And so if that's you, if you've never received Jesus and you'd like to today, it's really simple. Like I said, the Bible says all you got to do is confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. He died for your sins so you could be saved. You couldn't get there on your own, but Jesus made a way. And so if that's you, if you've never received Jesus before and you'd like to, we're not going to call you up here. We'll just have you raise your hand right there in your seats. Everybody's heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one's looking at you. And then we'll all pray a prayer together. So if that's you, if you've never received Jesus before and you'd like to today, go ahead and just throw up your hand real quick. I'll have you put it right back down. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, I don't see any hands, but I want to give one more opportunity. If you maybe you have received Jesus, but you've walked away from him, and I don't mean that you made a few mistakes, but I mean you completely walked away, and you want to come back to him now. You say, you know what? I don't want to lose the fruits, the ability to get the fruit of the kingdom, but I want to walk in those fruits. If that's you, and you want to come back to Jesus today, it's the same thing with you. Just go ahead and throw up your hand real quick. Praise the Lord. I thank you, Lord. You put that hand down. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You can put that hand down. Praise the Lord. Is there anyone else? Glory to God. Well, we had a hand, and I want to speak from my heart to that person. You know, God's never far from you. He never was. And even though you may have felt far from him, he was never far from you. He's always looking for you. So don't let the devil to run on you. Don't let him get you in condemnation. God is not a God of condemnation. But you just decide to serve God and get hungry for him, and he's going to show you things that you never imagined. He's going to show you a path that'll be ultimate blessing, and it'll be so good, so, so good. And so if you raise your hand, we're all going to pray a prayer together. I just want you to pray it with us. So just pray it, mean it out of your heart, and Jesus receives you right back. Hallelujah. And you just start right where you were. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus and that he died for me. Wash me. Cleanse me. Set me right. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, praise God. God is good. He loves us. Praise the Lord. I'm excited for what's coming because there's amazing miracles in Mayville. Praise the Lord. We're going to confess it. We're going to walk in it, right? Amen.